Hi, welcome to Airplane. Another wonderful guest is in store today for you. His name is Marcello Rolando, and he's a director, an actor, an activist, and has several very exciting projects. Welcome, Marcello.
Well, thank you, Connie. It's good to be here.
It is. And you're just such a fascinating individual. I'm just going to let you talk. Tell us a little bit about how you got started. I love to hear you talk. Your elocution is perfect. And it's amazing. Audience, you'll hear. So go ahead, Marcello, if you want to just tell us a little bit about how you got started in the theater and where you're at now.
Okay, a little bit. Fifth grade, I decided I wanted to be in show business. I was a singer then, a boy soprano, and the choir director, the elementary school director, liked my voice, and he put me with the altos because he thought I would lead them, you know, because I had a strong voice. But I was very upset because I was a soprano. I was, you know, anyway. But skipping ahead, I went to Peabody Conservatory of Music, where I'm a major. Of course, I was an opera singer, but I made a debut while I was there at the Baltimore Opera. But I primarily, what happened for me at Peabody is that I realized how much I wanted to direct, and I directed my first opera there, and so forth, and on to Catholic University, MFA in directing, and I've done a great deal of directing and acting, and a lot of political writing, as you alluded to, since the last 40 years. And I don't know, that's the quick and easy. Is that good enough or you want more?
Oh, that's amazing. It's amazing. But tell us about your new project, this one you're working on right now.
Well, I actually have three in the burner, but I can't talk about two of them. So I'll say A Little Place Called Earth is my number one focus at the moment in any case. And we hope to get it on its feet in production in New York in 2024 before election. A Little Place Called Earth is, it has five characters, four of which I'll talk about, George and Sandy and Angel and Luke. The fifth one will just have to remain to be a surprise. You'll have to come see the show. But these four people arrive from places that they know where they come from, but they don't know what to expect when they arrive. But each of them comes from a different place at different times, and two of them, Angel and Luke, have been through this a number of times, this sort of coming back to a little place called Earth, from where we'll find out during the course of the show. Sandy has come back sometimes, but not always with Angel and Luke. And they have different relationships when they come back and different assignments which they have to figure out once they are there. Why are we here? What is it we need to accomplish? And in that sense, I'll say this. It's a little like, I just happened to think of this, so please forgive me. It's a little like Field of Dreams. You think you know why all the magic's going on, and then at the end, you find out it's not what you thought it was. I like that analogy. I hadn't thought of that before.
Cool.
And lovely songs, by the way. Songs and lyrics by Larry Dresner, Lawrence Dresner, as he's known professionally. I call him Larry. He has done an amazing job with the music, including the happy-go-lucky, it will all work out, don't worry about anything, to some more serious dramatic things. It's full of humor, but it is a subject that deals with a lot of what I dealt with in the past as a writer. I wrote the book to the show, by the way, and things that concern me and most of us about life on Earth and relationships and love and happiness and sadness and loss and climate change and, you know, war and peace. I mean, it's in there. And finally, George. George is brand new, and he doesn't know what any of this is about. He's never experienced this at all, and he doesn't know who these people are, and there's some weird stuff going on, and he's constantly wondering, you know, who he can trust. And, of course, the fifth character I'm not mentioning is someone who is especially frightening to George, and everyone else. The thing is, though, Luke and Sandy cannot see this fifth character. George can see the character, but he can't. He's too terrified and doesn't know how to communicate with him and wouldn't want to anyway. Angel, on the other hand, the all-knowing angel, is she's quite an interesting character. Maybe she's the voice of reason. That might be a good description for her. But it's not that she knows everything. She's not all-knowing. She's not an angel per se necessarily, unless you decide she is when you see the show. But she does understand that she is the hub in the wheel. She's the person who has to keep everyone patient and persevering at the same time until they all come to their own way of knowing, why are we here? Which is that big question for all of us. But they have to, as with us, the characters have to answer that question on their own. So, but once they get there and things start to coalesce and they can come together and think and feel as a unit, as opposed to, you know, four individuals just running around trying to figure things out, that's when she steps in and proves how it will all work out if we just work together.
Excellent. Excellent. So where do they meet? Like in a city, or, you know, is this like a no exit type? Is it absurdist or is it realism?
Those are two good extreme choices. I would say it certainly is realistic to each character where they are. And it's a very good question, Connie. And only because of you asking it, will I tell you. It's a simplistic set, a minimalist set. But it shows, the sets indicate in unrealistic ways where each person comes from. And they sort of gravitate to their space, not necessarily knowing, except again, Luke and Angel have been here before, but things are different. Sometimes Luke and Angel are a couple, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're the parents of Sandy, and sometimes they're not. But George's area is a, sorry, the dogs are in the studio today. George's place is, it looks like a kitchen from the 1950s with an old, what was called an ice box, but I guess it's an early refrigerator. I doubt that it's an ice box. It has a table and chairs, and he makes coffee there and so forth. And he sort of retreats to that space when he needs to try and figure out things, when he praise to his grandmother and so forth. But the refrigerator is an interesting thing that I, of course, wrote. So, of course, I think it's interesting. But it depends on who opens the refrigerator, what you will see in it, and what you can take out of it. Yeah.
That's really cool.
That's right. When Luke goes, and of course, people can come and go in each other's area, although Luke is pretty protective of his what do they call it, man cave, and retreats there because he's retreated from a lot of things in life and in the show, and part of his journey is trying to find his way back to being what he's quite capable of being. He just has been full of self-doubts and looking in the wrong places for solutions, but he ultimately is brought to his moment, and it is an excellent moment. Lots of gorgeous songs. I go back to that. Angel's realm is pretty much the entire area, which includes the sort of common area. Looks like a large living room and regular furniture, maybe from the 80s. But Sandy has a little private bedroom of herself, of her own, and she doesn't... She doesn't arrive at the same time as the others. And when she does arrive, it's quite a shock to George. He's just managing to get accustomed to who Luke and Angel may be and what this is all about. Because remember, he's just appeared from he knows not where, really. And he's in this new reality, if you will. Anyway, Sandy is quite taken with him right away. She's young and precocious and is full of, as Luke says, she's trying to, he thinks, experience everything she thinks she's missed. I guess that's, you ask a question. I talk too much anyway.
I have a ton here. Okay. You didn't mention this word, but I'm going to throw it out there and you tell me if we're allowed to use this word, reincarnation.
You're allowed to use it, but that's not
in terms of your play. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that's quite, and I hesitate only because that was a phase that I went through. I thought about that. But
okay.
No, they're here and now. At least
but
when they're on stage.
But they were here before, right?
That's right. They were here before.
Did they know each other before?
Ah, that's a great question. George, of course, has not known any of them. And as I alluded to, Sandy comes back and she explains things to George as they go along because she's quite taken with him and he's new and he's different. And, you know, he's not like Angel and Luke. And she wants to know why he's there. And of course, whereas she gets excited about meeting someone new, Luke, on the other hand, resents that this strange man is there and what has he got to do? And because things are very different this time around, each keeps saying that, except George, because for him, the whole thing is different. But it's not the same as it has been. And as I said earlier, in some returns, Luke and an Angel are married, or at least they are together. And they are the parents of Sandy, as she explains to George, but not always. And this time around, we'll decide what their relationship is as you see the show and the songs. And Sandy has an issue that is coming up that hasn't for a long time in these returns, but this time it is the monsters beneath her bed. It's a recurring nightmare. And she has never understood it. She had it at first when she was 7 years old. That's all she can remember. And at that return, Luke was indeed her father and came to help her in the dream. And this wonderful scene that I love, when we have flashbacks and flash forwards, and one of the flash forwards is she's in college. And of course, at the time she's in college, this is an incredible monologue. I can't believe I'm saying this to the great playwright Connie Kepfinger, but it's this wonderful monologue. where COVID is coming. It's never described. She just calls it the old people's disease. And her roommates run off when it starts to affect younger people, and they head west and they head northeast. And of course, she never hears from them again. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't know what has happened. But she doesn't need any advice from anybody over 20 or over 30, and that's it, until she sings this incredible song again by Lawrence Dresner, Monster Beneath My Bed.
Cool.
And it reminds me, the song reminds me so much of a nightmare I had when I was very young, younger than Sandy. It wasn't a recurring nightmare, but it did produce a recurring, I guess it was a recurring nightmare. It produced a recurring phobia that took ages to get out. You'll love this, Connie. I owned a company in New York that I bought from called Show People. And we bought it, and the great, great, great soap opera writer, Jan Hiller, was my partner in it. And we would invite actors to come and audition for us, and I would direct them on camera, and she would write these incredible, because she's so good, 60-second answers to tell me about yourself. And we would produce them with simple sets and costume changes, a hat, a pipe, a pair of glasses, whatever. And then we presented them in our Upper West Side studio to casting directors, managers, agents. They would stop by. It was beautiful. They would stop by Yeah, we would hand a little packet with the information on the performer. If that's
the actors, help to producers. That's wonderful.
It was wonderful. We had people from Broadway. We had people you never heard of that were, and we had a lot of major casting people. People, Jay Bender and so forth. You'd be surprised who showed up because it was so easy. It's back. You sit there and watch television, and you see this minute by minute, and then you got the information of the people you chose to get, and nothing else was pushed on you, and you had some popcorn.
You know, and the thing is that today a lot of people are doing their own reels, but they're so far and wide with quality. That's a problem. You know what I mean? Because you don't really see the best of that person sometimes, and you're losing out, the actor's losing out, you're losing out as a producer. Yes. So I understand that. But let me jump back.
Yes.
To the refrigerator. Because I have something that I just learned within the last 6 months. This will blow your mind.
Okay.
The reason people like certain foods, and like some kids won't eat anything. I have two little grandkids. Both of them have like really, really strange palates. One loves Mexican food and eats beans continuously. The other one, you know, eats crackers and yogurt, you know. So, I mean, but it's like, but she does like Indian food. So here's the thing that I learned from, it was a live conversation with, it was after my yoga class and we had a discussion and somebody said that it is said that food choices and taste comes from your past life.
Oh, wow.
And that
doesn't blow my mind, especially coming from you. I accept that without the slightest hesitation.
But here's the thing. I want to know about your refrigerator because that's brilliant. Because that makes sense. It depends. And see, that's like a huge metaphor to me. The whole idea, you are what you eat, right? Mm-hmm. And then to have this refrigerator, I mean, it's like, you know, do you see what you really see? Is this a grand illusion? Or, I mean, it's all mixed together. So how are you going to use this fridge?
You would pick up on that.
I want one.
I was.
Well, fridge.
Yes, and exactly. And not only that, as I said, it looks like an old one of those, you know, sort of curved dome.
Right.
Whatever they were back in the day.
House Electrolux type, yeah.
Yes, and it has of course a cord in which to plug it in, but without any pretensions, it's not plugged into anything.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
When George opens it, I'll tell you. When George opens it, he usually gets out a snack or something. When Luke goes in. And there's a real, as you know, and again, I'm talking to one of the finest playwrights that I know. Every character has to have a problem. We have our overarching journey, of course, but everyone has to have their own individual issues too. Mm-hmm. And what happens when, depending on who opens the refrigerator, is that you are faced with that. And one of the big confrontations early on when Luke is not all that comfortable with George because he doesn't know who he is and things are a little out of kilter from what he's been used to experiencing, Luke, when he comes here. Well, when Luke opens the refrigerator, he finds a postcard and a newspaper. And a drink of some sort. I won't tell you what it is. I do know what it is, but I'm not sharing that part.
Okay.
And he turns around because George happens to be, and that's kind of his little comfort zone. George, he's sitting at the table. Luke can come and go as he wishes, and so can anyone. But Luke turns around in a fury because he blames George for what he sees in the refrigerator.
Another
because, as you sensed, Connie, because what Luke sees in the refrigerator is his past. Ooh. And this particular one of these items, the postcard, again, Larry Dresner, Lawrence Dresner, has composed an amazing song. So simple, so introspective. And But Luke would never have sung this song, let alone admitted this to anyone, except when he opens the refrigerator, there is the postcard. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I can relate to that because I blame my husband all the time for what I don't see. Because every now, I'm not kidding you, he moves the ketchup all the time. And I'll sit there and say, where's the ketchup? It's right there. Where? Can we just keep it in the same place, please? You know?
You might want, we should just maybe a little swap here, because I have the same problem with my wife. Wherever, it just goes in wherever. And you know, there is an order to this. I know it sounds terrible. Sounds terrible, Connie, but it's true. There is an order to what's in there so you can find things.
Exactly.
That's all.
Exactly.
We don't ask for much.
For 40 years, I've been saying to my husband, you know, this is why our friends got divorced over moving things. You know, I really think so. A lot of people get divorced over somebody moving their stuff. You know, where are my shoes? I had them right here. Oh, I put them away. Well, where's away? You know, but getting back to your show, I think it sounds absolutely fabulous. I can't wait. I can't wait to hear the music. Are you going to do like a little trailer or anything? How can we find you?
We are, as a matter of fact, Larry and I were just on the phone yesterday. We did release some early on some slideshows with my voiceover, but they all had a song from the show. And the best thing, you can go right to the website. We don't have those on the website, I think. Maybe we do. I don't.
So what is the website?
The website is Rolando, Rolando, and Dresner, Dresner,
okay,
productions.com.
Okay.
Or you can just put in a little place called earth.com.
And it'll come up. Okay.
The tech guys make that
very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. I have one more question about this fantastic show. I knew this show was just going to be, and I knew nothing about it ahead of time. I mean,
no,
I knew a little bit about it, but I really didn't know about it, but I knew it was something special. I think there's a lot to this show that teaches us about our own here and now and how to get along with each other. You know, I think the big message is get along in the sandbox, kids, you know, and if we can do that, then we can actually see the truth and see the beauty of this moment, because this is the present. It's not the past. It's not the future. It's the present. That's why it's a gift. And if we can live this, then we'll be all right. But we're always so worried about placing blame, fixing the blame instead of fixing the problem, or even just not even responding to a problem. Let it not be a problem. Mm-hmm. Why does it have to be a problem? It's all about you, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the wisdom of this piece is phenomenal. I can't wait. One more question. Why did you choose to make it a musical?
You ask great questions.
Thanks.
Well, my good friend Larry Dresner and I did a show 30 some years ago in New York called Tiffany. And we appreciated each other's work at the time. He was not the lyricist on that particular show. I directed 3 productions of it. And we had, by the way, if you guys remember, Raisa Katona Bennett, who was the understudy for Christine on Broadway, even at that time, she was in our show.
Oh, and you mean Christine in Phantom?
Yes, in Phantom. Okay. Thank you. In any case, she's all over Europe now, and I get tweets all the time or whatever. What is it? Instagram. Anyway, to answer your question, Larry brought me 2 years ago 30 songs, and he said, I'd love to do a cabaret out of these. I wrote them some time ago and whatever, and I want to do something with them. How about a cabaret? And I said, okay. And by the way, I'll push myself just a moment. I do that. People bring me music or plot line, and I write for them. And I've never really pushed that as a talent until I finished A Little Place Called Earth. And I thought, you know, and another Broadway, Avery Summers, if anyone remembers her. Avery Summers has done marvelous things, and she's just hired me to write around something she wants. Well, anyway, Larry didn't get, as he answered once in an interview, I didn't get a cabaret show. All of a sudden, I had a full book musical because I wrote the book around the songs. So okay. When everyone goes, gee, the songs are so well placed, it's because they were the crux, the foundation for the book. The book came after the music and was written around them. So songs like It Will All Work Out and To Have Had a Son, which is an amazing song. Do You Still Think of Me? I Won't Give Him My Tears. You know, they're all just amazing, just amazing.
Well, we're just about out of time, and I want to thank you so much for coming and being with us on AirPlay. And for all our listening audience and watching today, A Little Place Called Earth, Marcello Rolando. It's going to be great. And you'll keep us posted.
I will. Absolutely. So good to see you. And I'm glad to be on your show. Really, yeah, truly.
Glad to see you. Take care now. Bye, everybody. See you next month. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
And now, three songs from A Little Place Called Earth. Music and lyrics by Lawrence Dresner.
Hi, I'm Marcello Rolando. As promised, Rolando and Dresner Productions is creating a new musical dramedy about our triumph over a contested rise of our holiday spirit into an ever-increasing brighter new year where our best dreams come true. So let's let go of the past and grasp 2021 with our renewed, refreshed, and rejuvenating celebration of perfect health, prosperity, and happiness in our life on A Little Place Called Earth. A Little Place Called Earth is a Rolando and Dresner production about our resurgence out of the jaws of inequitable income opportunity. It's a coming-of-age realization that grabbing the brass ring without sharing it diminishes our return. It's about our taking chances together on each other without fear of contests, competition, and cooperation. A Little Place Called Earth is about reassembling our humanity, knowing there is no victory without valiantly clawing our way through defeat, despair, and death. It's about sharing our powers of kindness with strangers and neighbors, online, on stage, and on Earth. Visit us on Marcello Rolando's YouTube channel and take a chance on becoming a contest degenerate by composer-lyricist Larry Dresner.
Where can you go when your body's debris? Curves where they shouldn't be, you're headed downhill. What's there to do when you've reached meat decay? When your kids have moved away and your husband you control? Contests! That's right, contests! There are thousands around, they abound. I've entered 4 score, but I still yearn for more. Once you're hooked, you're booked, there are thousands galore. Contests, all kinds of contests. Some rules require great wit, but no matter what they ask, I'm up to the task, cause I'm a contest degenerate. For some, you match cards. For others, you scratch cards. Some want you to compare a number. Coupons you mail in, box tops you collect and select, detect, dissect and connect, reject and correct. I know, cause I'm a connoisseur of contests, dozens of contests. I can't refuse them, I admit. But what do I care? I'll be a millionaire, cause I'm a contest degenerate. For some you mail away, I love them. For others you have to pay, I'm crazy about them to be considered in the running. Answers you make up, envelopes you address, and compress, redress, and bless, coalesce, finesse, and caress. Don't you just love them? Contests, all kinds of contests. My friends think I'm a twit. Do you think I'm crazy or maybe just a little bit hazy? I'm just a contest. I'm a contest. I'm a contest. Where did I put my stamps?
Another song from A Little Place Called Earth, music and lyrics by Lawrence Dresner. Monsters Beneath My Bed.
I'm lying in bed, a really big bed, whose sides I can't even see. And I'm tucked in tight, and I'm snug and warm, lying in my bed. I'm lying in bed, a soft big bed, whose sides I just barely touch. And I'm tucked in tight, but I don't feel safe. There's a monster beneath my bed. It's got slimy skin and 8 green eyes and teeth 12 inches long. It's got purple fur and ugly claws, 10 arms that look real strong. Dad, come on, Dad, why can't you hear me call? I'm trapped inside my room and you're just sleeping down the hall. If my arm or leg over the side, I'll have nowhere to hide from the monster beneath my bed. Oh, Dad, come on, Dad, why can't you hear that growl? I'm trapped inside my room and there's a monster on the prowl. Under my bed, I'm as good as dead. Lying in bed, it's an okay bed, whose sides I easily reach. I'm all grown up, have a family now. There are no monsters beneath my bed, instead, they're inside my head. Like what to do and where to go, can I now pay? And when to do this and how to do that? What must I do today? What's the best for my family to keep harm far away? How to know if I'm doing more than simply just okay? Then I hear a cry and I run inside. It's got 20 11 arms and 2 thick tongues and 13 real long tails. It's got stinky breath, an ugly grin, and brown and yellow scales. Mom, come on, Mom, please make the monster go. So I get down on the floor, look under the bed, and shoo all the dust balls or monsters away. And I hold my child and say those monsters will never come back again. And he gives me a smile, a beautiful smile. And I know
hi, I'm Marcello Rolando of Rolando and Dresner Productions, and Larry and I are vaccinated, masking up, and moving forward with our new musical dramedy, A Little Place Called Earth.
COVID-19 and our 2020 elections have brought out the best and worst in some of us, but few of us have to learn what to do if a police officer stops us, and less than half of us have to worry about where we jog, walk, or drive. As we listen to Larry Dresner's composition, Mistakenly Taken, sung by Christian Mark Gibbs, imagine what a difference it would make if all Americans shared all of America equally.
Nothing to lose. I guess maybe I was special. There were many more kids to choose. Down deep, I was happy, like I was born all over again. I knew I was lucky, been lucky before. I packed my bags, we drove away. I waved as we passed the gate. Imagine me with a family. I didn't feel one bit of hate. Mistakenly taken, regretfully returned. Apologies to those involved. I hope no one was burned. That's all they said. And I was sent off to bed. Mistakenly taken, regretfully returned. Please give the kid a kiss goodnight. I'm sure he'll be alright. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? Some people came to the shelter one day, decided to leave a son. They dropped off a kid in need of love. So naturally I was the one. Down deep I was angry, like I died a little inside. Down deep I was angry. I remember the feeling as I cried. Mistakenly taken, regretfully returned. Apologies to those involved. I hope no one was burned. That's all they said.
Information, listen to our Rolando and Dresner Productions podcast on Marcello Rolando's YouTube channel. Thank you, and join us online, on stage, and on Earth.